Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, tonight we came to worship. We came to bow down. We came to declare you as our God and as our King. We know you have a word in season for us. And therefore, I ask the Lord you speak to us indeed. Break the yoke, the chains that surround us. Let us be able to rejoice in thanksgiving as we end the year in your goodness. It is because of you. You have brought us thus far. Who else are we going to give thanks to? Speak to us, O God. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us individually. And Lord, let us not, even if we want to, leave the same as we came. Satan, I rebuke your hand. I rebuke your stronghold. I rebuke your power. Get away now. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Wow, put your hands together for the Lord. Give the Lord a shout. It's excitement time, convention. And you may please be seated. Wow. What an honor it is. Hosting the convention again. It's end of year. I could have been somewhere else. Dead, something. Isn't it? Because you can die. And the fact that you're a pastor doesn't mean that you can't die. Who said that pastors don't die? Pastors die. Yeah. Church members die. The boys die. Girls die. People die all over the place. And so to be alive, to be preaching, it's a privilege. I say it's a privilege. Amen. My message for these 3 nights, the journey we're going to be on, is experiences with Jesus Christ. Experiences with Jesus Christ. Why experiences with Jesus Christ? Experiences with Jesus Christ have actually affected and changed millions and millions of people. The change that people have experienced in their lives were not because of anybody, but because of Jesus. If you have not changed, it means you have not met Jesus as yet. I said, if you have not changed, then it means that you have not met Jesus as yet. You have not experienced Jesus as yet. Anybody in the Bible who met Jesus left with a testimony. I say, anybody who met Jesus in the Bible left with a great testimony. My prayer for you during these 3 nights is that you leave with a testimony. Yes. I said, my prayer for you tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night is that you will not come and leave the same as you came. Yes. Hey, some hands are up, some hands are not up. You don't know how to receive. If somebody is giving you something, what do? You stretch forth your hand and receive it. I said, I pray that you don't leave tonight the same as you came. Now you're behaving like you came for something. Hallelujah. Try not to move around. Try not to be going around. I don't like that. Because it takes something away from the presence of the Lord. When God is around, you have to be very attentive. You have to be very, very careful. So hold it in for a few minutes. Even if it's for an hour, I'm sure you can still do it. People are experts in holding in things. I pray that you become an expert tonight also. Amen. Experiences with Jesus Christ. We want to look at experiences that people had with Jesus in a nutshell. But I want us to look at it from, let's say, the apostles' point of view before we go into any other area. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Experiences with Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. Give me King James. if you have it. Verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. This is what Peter says. Peter says something here. It's very important for you to take note of it. Now, I'm sure we all know Peter. Isn't it? Peter is one of the important followers of Jesus Christ. He was very, very, very prominent among the 12 disciples that Jesus selected for his ministry. And, you know, after Jesus died, rose again, ascended into heaven, you know, he laid it on some people's hearts to write accounts of his life. And Peter also was given the privilege to write to the churches based on, you know, his point of view. Now, I preached a sermon many years ago about a witness. And if you're a witness of something, you're very, very important. Witnesses are very, very important in very, very cases. I was just looking at a video clip from the U.S., I think it's in Chicago, where the police shot a guy. I think this was about a year ago or so. And the guy died. The policeman just shot him, I'd say about 16 times or so. And I think they've been fighting for the police camera, because the police, whenever they go into a situation, they go with cameras on their bodies. So whether they like it or not, the camera must roll. The camera must record the proceedings when they are arresting somebody for evidence and all, you know, to be on the safer side, legal matters and all of that. The police, they are forced to carry cameras on them. And as they are, you know, involved in arresting and all of, the camera is on their body and it's recording. You can't, if you turn it off, you are a suspect of something bad. So this one, the policeman was behind the guy, and then, you know, the guy was facing other policemen. And I think they asked him to, you know, raise his hands or, you know, freeze. You know how they tell people to freeze, go into the freezer and freeze. And then the guy was not freezing. So this policeman on the left side began to shoot him. So what you see is that you see the guy going and the police, everybody stretch out their, you know, their guns ready to shoot. And then you don't see anything happening, but you see the guy on the floor. So, I mean, people were questioning what happened between when the guy was going, they told him to freeze, and when he fell. So there has been about a year now, there has been a lot of court cases for the police to release the video of that particular arrest and the shooting of that guy. So they just released it, I think, a day ago or so. And it was discovered. I mean, when you look at the thing, it's like the guy was just shot. I mean, he was murdered. That's why Chicago, if you are watching the news, Chicago, there's unrest in Chicago right now. The people are protesting because the way they shot the guy, it wasn't necessary. So the camera and the recording was a true witness of the incident. So when you are a witness of any incident, you are a very important person. People had filed court cases for the camera, the footage to be released, because they suspected that there was something hidden. Did you get it? Now, Peter, who was actually one of the first to be called by Jesus. Bible says Jesus called him and his brother Andrew. And then Jesus also called John and his brother James. So Peter is a very, very important element in Christianity. In fact, I think the Catholic Church, they have St. Peter. They have St. Peter, isn't it? And some cathedrals and the places are named after Peter. They call it St. Peter and all of that. You know, he's a saint to the Catholics. A saint is a very, very, very important personality or name in the Catholic Church. So Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he says that, "For we," referring to himself and his brothers, he says that, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." The Bible is where you should underline these three words. Cunningly devised fables. You need help? You should help your brother. There's a brother in need. No, the usual thing. You know how he... For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So, Peter is trying to say that he had some experiences with a man called Jesus Christ. But that experience he had, some people are going around saying that it is a fable. It's a fiction. It's something that people are just trying to use to make us, to control us, or to tell us about something that doesn't exist. So, Peter is saying that what happened to him was not a story, just a story, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And it's not something that somebody said, and many of us, and many people, especially the older black generation, the black fathers, the black mothers, the black grandfathers, who believe in a lot of these African things. They say it's a white man who wrote the Bible to enslave us. The white man did not write the Bible. You see, it's a lot of ignorance when you say the white man wrote the Bible. The white man did not write the Bible. The Bible was not written by the white man. The white man just got access to the Bible. He did not. Who is the white man? The British? The Italian? The German? The Dutch? The Belgian? The French? Did he live in France? Did Jesus live in England? Jesus was born in Israel. His life was in that same region. The people he affected, the people who experienced Jesus, the people who wrote about Jesus, came from Jerusalem. They are not white people. What Paul wrote, like Peter, when Peter, who is Peter? Peter is a Jew. Peter is not a white man. Peter is a Jew. And he wrote this letter when he didn't even know that you and I would be reading it in 2015. And he's saying that from his experience, these things that we are talking about, Jesus and was born by a Virgin Mary and came into this earth, he was born on Christmas, all the things that we talk about, he says that it is not a fable. It's not a fiction. It's not just a story that we have devised. It is not something that somebody sat down and put a word upon word. You see, even if people sat down to plan the Bible, they wouldn't have been able to bring out a book as accurate as the Bible. If you like, when you see these young boys who say they are Muslims, you should ask them of the foundation of Islam. They don't know anything. And that's why you should not also serve God in ignorance. You must know that what we are about, what we are doing, and what we are experiencing, is not cunningly devised fables. And that is why you should be able to say, but I am even not an eyewitness, but I am a witness of his greatness. You should sit down or stand and be able to speak that you are a product of God Almighty's handiwork. You are a product of his goodness and his existence. If God was not alive, you wouldn't be alive. If God was not alive, you wouldn't be here. If God was not a good God, you would not be sitting down healthy and strong with health and strength looking at me. So Peter is trying to decode or neutralize a certain kind of mindset that suggests that Christianity and everything in Christianity
is somebody who is cunning. Cunning means somebody who is crafty. It's like wisdom in a bad way. You know, there are some people, they are thieves, but they are very wise thieves. And it's not a good wisdom. That's what we call that craftiness. Yeah. There are some people, they smell money. When they see money, they smell money. Yeah. When they come to your house, they know where your money is at. Yeah. It's like some evil initiation of power. They smell money. Yeah. They are able to sometimes, nobody informed them, but they are able to come the day when there's money around. It's fantastic. So they are cunning. It's like somebody who moves very, very swiftly, very, very, you know, very accurately. He knows where to go and when and the place. He knows how to do such a bad thing. It's somebody who's cunning. It's like Jerry and Tom. Jerry is very cunning. He outsmarts Tom all the time. And he knows that his home, his house, the entrance to his house is a very small entrance. So all he needs is to just dash into his house. Then Tom will just hit a big, 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 big wall. And then Tom doesn't know that he has a few more entrances. So where his tail, when he makes mistake to put his tail around the corner, he doesn't know there's another entrance there. Before he realizes that something has happened to his tail. Jerry is cunning. So Peter is saying that people are trying to take away his experience with Jesus Christ by saying that there was no Jesus. There was no death. There was no burial. There was no resurrection. There was no birth. There was nothing about this Jesus. It was some carpenter. He says that he and the others did not follow this crafty, cunningly devised. Device means it was created. Oh, a brother need help. Wow. Cunningly devised fables. Somebody sat down, smartly designed. You see, other religions are like that. Selassie people, Mormons, Joseph Smith and Co., Jehovah Witnesses, the Sai Baba, all these Hindu people, all of them, their things are cunningly devised fables. Because they have put it together in such a way that you should be affected by it and you should be deceived by it. That by that you will go to hell. But Peter said, you know what? I cannot allow anybody to take away from me the experience that I had. He says, it is not like that. But he said, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord, he said, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So it is very, very interesting to want to find out some of the things that Peter is talking about. That made a great impact on him for the rest of his life. Somebody who had a future. His father, he was going to inherit a fishing business. Yeah, his father has trawlers, shrimps, and lobsters. Yeah, snapper, exporting snapper, and bangamari, and all them fine fish. Trout, salt fish. And look at a lot of people are into fish business, seafood. They ship containers with fridge inside. They ship all these things abroad. Sometimes they put a white lady inside so that the profit will become more. It's a big business. So, Apostle Peter, it wasn't like he didn't have a future. He had a future. He had a business. He was helping his father in fishing. He was an expert fisher. When Jesus wanted somebody to go and catch a fish and find some money and sell and pay taxes, it was Peter he called. It was the same Peter who he had fished all night. He had gone to sea. Job knows how to go on sea. Job used to go to sea. Yeah. Fish all night. Not a single fish. The fishes said, "Tonight, not us." They were so cunning. When they see the net, they run. Because there's a reason why fishers go to sea in the night. Because the fish, they don't see the night. Is it true, Job? Is it true? They don't see in the night. Not well. So once the net is there, all that happens is that they just swim right into the net. So by morning, enough of them get catch. But that particular night, the fishes, they agreed. They said, "Tonight, we are not going into anybody's net." So cunningly, they devised fables. They cunningly made some devices to outwit the nets of the disciples, especially Peter. So Peter in the morning, when he was coming from the sea, very depressed, somebody who has been doing this business for many, many years, didn't catch anything that particular night. So he was depressed. He was concerned. He was worried. And then lo and behold, he sees Jesus. And Jesus said, "Hey, Wam." He said, "Nothing." I said, "So what? Well, any business, any fish? You got some fish?" He said, "No." He said, "I've worked all night. No fish." And this was the point where they were just about to hit land. And Jesus said, "Cast your net." Peter laughed. Because Peter, you know the indigenous people, as little as they are, they can swim. You and I, we can't swim. They put us in the water right now, we're gone dead. But some of these Amerindians who live on the river banks, their houses, they use boats to go to their houses. The children, they swim, they are like fishes. They should do a swimming, Olympic Games, swimming, they win. So Peter, who from infancy knows how to fish, has gone all night. Nicholas, are you there? Your position is a sleeping position. So fix yourself. All night. Use all the techniques. It didn't work. Jesus, his profession is a carpenter. So when it comes to fishing, Jesus has no audacity or power or any suggestion to say to Peter about fishing. If it's about cutting wood and putting it together to form a furniture or something, we'll listen to Jesus, but not about fishing. So Jesus said, "Cast your net." Peter said, "Number one, I have been in the deep. I didn't catch a thing. All night. It doesn't happen. Now I'm just about to hit the shore. And you say I should cast my net. Here, we don't catch fish here. You don't catch fish in shallow waters, Job. True or false? Job." Hey. Basman, is he in a good position? He's been on sea all night, didn't catch anything. He's just about to land. And they're just getting ready to just, you know, pack the boat and just go ahead and you know, prop sorrow. And Jesus comes and says, "Cast your net." Peter argued. Yeah. And Simon answering, said, "I have a very wise computer controller. Anointed the wisdom of Daniel." She's getting it slowly. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, Master. You see, he's saying master as a form of respect, but if it wasn't because he was master, he won't call him master. We have toiled all night. We have worked all night. We have worked hard all night and have taken nothing. I said, you know what? Nevertheless, I thy word. I will let down the net. You see, this is where many people are separated from a blessing and a miracle. Because you know to a point. And most of the time, the point to which you know, you are not flexible to go beyond that point. That's the point where you hand over your hand and then somebody leads you to where you don't have control over. I said, that is a point where many people are separated from their blessing or their God-given destiny. Because what you can handle, once you can't handle it, you can't receive it. Peter, what is going to happen? What is going to happen in the verses that are coming? Peter would have missed it if he had insisted that he is better at fishing than his master. But even though Jesus didn't have the background of fishing, Peter had a certain eye and a certain belief in him to the extent that he just rubbished all his experience on all his toil all night to just listen. He said, just because you said it. Hey, how many of you will just believe and just follow just because the pastor or just because God is saying it? A lot of arguments. A lot of justification. A lot of pride. A lot of resistance. Because that area, you can't, is an unknown area to you. And therefore, you don't trust anybody to lead you into that place. And that's why your breakthrough has not come as yet. That's why your miracle has not come as yet. It's nevertheless at your end. I'll let down the net. And he just didn't say it. He did it. If you say so, I'll do it. If you say so. I wouldn't have done it. I've given up. But if you say so, I'll do it. Now, most of the time, and if you observe how sometimes we preach and we talk, we don't say more of, if God says so. We would normally say, oh, if the pastor, it's because you won't hear even if God speaks to you. And a lot of people who are confused in this Christian life are people who are dependent on God's voice rather than the voice of the man of God or the servant of God. Should I say it again, Yulana? For you to wait for God to speak to you and for you to wait for me to speak to you by God's inspiration. Me speaking to you by God's inspiration is faster and easier. But many people don't like that. They like God. A young man was asking me, he was telling me that he knows that he's alive for a reason, for a purpose. But he's been asking God and God has not been telling him anything. Florissa, you know what I told him? I said, you're very disrespectful, you know that? Because you are saying that when it comes to you, God should forget about his protocol and the way he works and then just approach you, give you access because it's you. I said, will you give up your protocol and your principles and your philosophies for somebody else? You will not do that. God should leave out his servants and the people that he have chosen as vessels to his people. He should leave them out and deal with you privately and personally. So how many people want that special treatment? So what is going to happen to the people he chooses? People will not respect them anymore. So then what is happening is that God, the people God are choosing, they'll be powerless. They will not have any influence because people won't listen to them anymore because they have access to God themselves. And you should look at people. Whenever some people have access to authority, you see how they behave. It makes them behave differently. And if you don't have access to authority, you toe the line, you fall, you follow what you are supposed to do. But people who have access to high places, they behave in a certain way. So if God, who is not an author of confusion, is to allow that, there'll be a lot of confusion in the kingdom of God. Because Kechi will say, you know what Pastor Collins can do, I can also do it. Yeah, but we are all Christians. God loves us the same. If he speaks to Pastor, he can also speak to me. Why? But what is the difference between Pastor and me? He's just a man, I'm a woman. But God speaks to us anyway. He said he loves us, we are his children, he can speak to all of us. No, that you're making a mistake. Because God has a procedure and a system where he chooses people and he uses that person to minister to the rest of the people. And once you despise that vessel, that's it. And Bishop narrates it very, very interesting. He said that it's just like GPL. If you want to iron or you want to press your clothes, why don't you take your iron and go to the land of Canaan or go to Kingston and plug your iron right there and press your clothes? But you believe and you have accepted the principle that let me just connect it to the socket in my room. That small thing. I will still have heat to press my dress. That's what we do and we believe. But when it comes to Christianity, we want to go to the plant itself. We want to go to God himself. And not the socket that he has placed in the church for you. I'm preaching a good message. I'm talking about experiences with Jesus. So the Bible says, when Peter had done this, then he realized that when it comes to this earth and the miracles and the breakthrough, it takes God. It's not by your own might or power. The Bible says, and they closed into the net a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. God, he has a sense of humor. He will make you useless in your own eyes until you come down and respect him and he'll make you little. That's how sometimes some of us, the problems you have are still there. It's a way for God to make you little. Because you're too up there. God wants to make you feel like you're a fool because of how you have propped up yourself. Yeah. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. When Peter humbled himself, he gave him grace. He caused fishes. Is he? I don't know how Jesus did it, but I'm sure he spoke to fishes and said, you know what? Hey, hello, now, everybody inside the net. Yeah. Billy, are you there? The fishes just went to the net. And it was so interesting that for the first time in the life of Peter, the net that has been faithful to him for all the years he's been going through, the net started breaking. 7. They had to ask for help, backup. Which were in the other ship. That they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began. Not only was their net breaking, but the fish was so much that the boat began to sink. When Peter, the fisherman, with a doctorate degree, saw what had happened. Wayne. Best. When he saw what had happened, he fell down. He fell down at Jesus' knees. You see what has happened? You have become foolish. And the right thing to do is just to go down now. He says, please, go away. Go away. The sight of you make me feel too bad. So go.
That's why sometimes we don't want to see some people. Because when we see them, we feel bad. Because what they said has happened. What you thought they were lying about, it has come to pass. So their presence is a little uncomfortable.
But it's all a process for you to say, yes, Lord, from the depths of my heart. You know the song? Yeah. It's a song. He said, for I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So when you go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, is it 16? Then it makes more sense when he says that we have not followed Anansi's stories. We have not followed stories that were designed by some intelligent, crafty people. When we were talking to you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but I, Peter, I was an eyewitness of his majesty. Can you link the two now? That the reason why I'm saying I'm an eyewitness is that one day I went fishing. My net broke. We called backup. When the backup came, the boat ship were sinking because of the drought of fish we caught. When we are told all night. Just because he told us to cast our net. So he's saying that, you see, the experience I had with Jesus, you can't take it away from me.
I pray you have an experience with Jesus tonight. As I pray you have an experience with Jesus tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow night. First John chapter 1. John, another disciple, is also making his case. Miss Durant, are you there? He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. You didn't see with your eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. So, in other words, he's telling you that, me too, I was an eyewitness of that which was from the beginning. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness. Again, witness is very important when you are a witness. Yeah. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, was shown to us. That which we have seen and heard is the same thing declare we unto you. Is that not the same thing Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16? He said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made unto you the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ. John is also saying that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. We are sharing it with you so that you also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Experiences with Jesus. So let's go to Matthew chapter 17, and then we'll try and round up. Matthew chapter 17. Turn to somebody and say, experiences with Jesus. Some of you tonight, when you're going home, something will happen on the way. I said something will happen on your way home tonight. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. Mount Kanuku. You see, if we were closer to the mountain, we should have been going on top of the mountain to pray. Because there are places where things happen. This busy Georgetown, no quiet place, things don't happen here. You must go into some bush. You get some power, I tell you. And when he took them to the mountain, the Bible says, he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. Mark says it very differently. Mark chapter 9, Rebecca, Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus takes them with him, Peter and James and John. It's the same Peter who wrote 2 Peter chapter 1. The same John who wrote 1 John. These same guys were the ones that Jesus took with him. And he leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He was changed. I'll come back to that. And his raiment. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Experiences with Jesus. I heard a story of a pastor who was praying for an Obia man. And the Obia man turned into a lion. For real. Daniel, are you sleeping? The Obia man turned into, it was a deliverance service. Was it? It's a man of God, a big man of God. A big man of God. People need the Lord. A big man of God. And his assistant pastors. You will pray for this juju man. And a guy turned into a lion. You see, I've told you of a story where there's an Obia man who went to a church. He wanted to destroy the church. And then as we were speaking in tongues of fire, that same guy, when that incident happened, and he decided to give his life to Christ. So he gave up, you know, he said, you know, he wants to serve God and all of us. So they were praying for him the next day. The guy transfigured into a lion. And I heard that all the pastors except the senior pastor ran away. Now, when you see, Sister Elsa, when you see a lion, you will run away. It's a very huge something. Yeah. If he uses his right hand to slap you, it will move you from here to the washroom. So this guy transfigured. I'm trying to explain what it means to be transfigured. Do you want to go back, Siri? So the Bible says that Jesus, as they walk around with him and all of that, he took them to a mountain. Charlie, you see, you're with Jesus, three of you. You go to a mountain. As you are going, you are wondering. Because when Isaac was with his father Abraham, when they were going to the mountain, he was asking, so what are we going to do? He said, we are going to sacrifice. So where is the sheep? Because he wanted to know, this place, if it feels, you know, it's like a horror movie. Where are you going? So he takes them, go to verse 1 again. He brings them into a high mountain. It's because of Jesus, that's why you follow and be quiet. But you see, at the point, you begin to ask yourself questions. There's few, if any, will allow somebody to take them to a place where they don't know where they are going, and the place looks a little funny and strange. Vanetta, I know Vanetta will say, excuse me? I know Vanetta.
Vanita will not move. You will have to explain to her where you are going before she takes another step. Pastor Gito?
Hey, it's so true.
Hey. She's been in my church for almost 10 years. So for these three big guys to follow Jesus to a high mountain, I'm talking about their experiences with Jesus. And then when they got to the top of the mountain, Jesus changes. Hey, Andreska. He changes to the extent that what? His face shines as the sun. Hey, I'll beat out. Oh. No, you beat out. Because what is the use of standing there to see what next? Did he bring us here to leave us here and to kill us or something? Well, you run. His face turned like the sun. By the way, you can't look at the sun. And his raiment, his dress. Jesus, I'm sure you used to normally wear that long thing they show us he wears. He wasn't wearing no jeans and boots. His raiment was as white as light. His face is sun. His body is light. In fact, on top of a mountain alone, the three of you. Then, as if it wasn't enough, the guy who used to live about 800, 900 years ago, your great grandfather appears. This is Denise. You tell John say, John. Charlie, this thing, Moses appears. Not only does Moses, you see, the Bible says that when Moses died on the mountain, they couldn't find his body. Because there was a battle between the Satan and the angel of God for Moses' body. So nobody knows where his body is. I'm sure Peter and those guys have read it in the Moses, the books of Moses. So Moses now appears. And he appears with the other guy who also disappeared. You can compare it to seeing a ghost. Because these people are, as it were, they are dead. And they've come back to life. And you are there on the top of the mountain. I don't know whether you want to jump, you want to run. But very interestingly, Moses and Elijah began to talk to Jesus. And they were watching. And then Peter answered and said unto Jesus. So Jesus was interrupting the conversation. Peter, he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Once Moses has come, Elijah has come, and you are here, we don't have to go anywhere again. If you want, if you like, if you give me the permission, I will try and build three houses right here, right now. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We will sleep outside, but we will build three houses for you. And then while he yet speak, behold, a third sign. So the face of Jesus, the raiment of Jesus, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and then a bright cloud overshadowed them. So it's like you can look through the cloud and see that outside there's no cloud, but you are in the cloud. Experiences with Jesus. And behold, number four, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, do you understand why he will say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 that we did not follow cunningly devised fables? Yeah.
Because on the mountain, I was there. Peter was, James was there. John was there. And I saw it. My message to you tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night is that once you have Jesus with you, you must have experiences. Timothy, you must have experiences though. If you don't have experiences, you don't. It means, you see, a Christian life and a Christian without Jesus' experiences is equal to no Christian life at all. Should I give you the equation again? Pastor Ralph is not here. He would have given me a better equation. A Christian minus experiences with Jesus is equal to no Christian at all. And I'm sure there are many of you who don't have any experiences with Jesus. That's why it's so difficult for you to serve God. That's why it's so difficult for you to even listen and to hear and to be obeyed. Because really and truly, if you were to, Atina, if you were to experience something, if you were to experience something that makes a difference in your life, you would change. And that is the purpose of God for us tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night. A permanent change has come. Amen. I said a permanent change has come. Amen. Some of you, your heart is like... You see, it's because you have not been an eyewitness. You see Apostle Paul? You know Paul Saul? The guy was zealous. He was going around, he was taking Christians and killing them until on the road to Damascus. Wayne Best, you have not experienced Jesus, that's why you didn't go to Bible school yet. Sometimes if you wait to experience it, it takes something away from you. Paul was on his way, excited, full of himself, proud with letters, search warrants, arrest warrants. He's going to Damascus. He said there were some people there also. He's going for them. And he goes. On the way, from nowhere, a bright light. He looks like Jesus. He walks with bright light. Tonight, somebody is going to see a bright light. I said, tonight, a bright light is going to shine your direction in the name of Jesus. The same kind of bright light in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Wisdom of Daniel. Shines on the man. He falls down. And then the light was so strong. The face was like the sun. The raiment was like the light. To the extent that Paul lost his vision. He couldn't see after that. And then he heard a voice. Why do you persecute me? And then he said, who are you? After that experience, his life was never the same again. I said, your life will never be the same again after an experience with Jesus tonight. Because you and I, like Peter, you know Peter told Jesus that he would die with him? He meant it. He wasn't drunk. It wasn't something that he was dreaming. Because of the things he experienced with Jesus. And we're going to look at the experiences with Jesus. Now, if you sit in a boat, okay, and there are storms, and the water is filling the boat. I've heard stories of cruise ships, big ships that when they are in deep sea, the waves is you know, these cruise ships, they have like 16, 20-story building, a skyscraper about 20 stories. They said that the waves can be so high that it reaches about the 16th or the 17th level. The ship feels like paper on the sea. If something like that arises, not on a cruise ship that is covered, you are inside. This one is a boat without a motor. without an engine, a canoe. And then there's waves and they are tossing you, tossing you, tossing you. And then from nowhere, you see something white walking on the water. I mean, well, do you jump into the water or what do you do? I mean, in the boat alone is enough. Water is coming. The waves, you can't control. And lo and behold, you see something white coming. And from childhood, you have learned that when you see things white like they are jumbi, they are coming for you. Then they begin to holler. Say, it's a zombie. It's a zombie. Jesus said, hello. Have you seen zombie with flesh and blood before? And then Peter said, is it you? If it's you, bid me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And then from the boat, he just jumps like that. And he begins to walk on the water. You think this guy will not be affected? You think that if you experience Jesus, you think your life will not change, your life will not be affected? Your prayer these 3 nights, these 3 days, should be, Lord, give me an experience with Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, let me experience Jesus in a way that my life will change forever. I was listening to the life history of Donnie McClurk, and I have a DVD that I stashed it somewhere, so I'll just listen to it today. And he was talking about his lifestyle, and he said how one of the first contracts he signed, Marvin Winans helped him to sign. He told him that he will pay him $1,600. And then Donnie McClurk said, no, it's too small. That's what I earn in a month. The Marvin Winans, he laughed. He said, no, I'm talking about week. 1 week. So what he was earning in a factory or some production somewhere for a month, when he got a contract to sing at Broadway, he was going to be paid that monthly salary for weekly. So $1,600 for a week times four was what he was going to get. His father was saying that when he was growing up, work will not come in between him and church. He says that the father said that at the point he didn't understand him, because when he has to go to work, he says no, he has to go to church. So any job that will come between him and church, he doesn't take it. He said when he asked him, he said, God will take care of me. You need to have an experience with Jesus to make certain statements. I said, you need to have an experience with Jesus to be making certain statements as if your mind is not correct, but it is just because of your experience. My prayer for you tonight. Stand to your feet, please. Father, for all those you have touched tonight, I declare that this experience will not be taken away from them. It will not be taken away from you. Don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move. May their experiences not be taken away from them. And I declare that their lives are not the same again after tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're here tonight, you're not saved. You're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand, you lift up your right hand, wherever you are. If you want me to pray with you, you want to receive Jesus Christ, you want to be born again, you want Jesus to come into your heart, if you're here like that, just lift up your right hand. You've never prayed that prayer before. You've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. You've never prayed that prayer before. You want to pray that prayer tonight. That is a prayer that ushers you into the kingdom of heaven. Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to be born again. I need Jesus. If you are here like that, your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. Your right hand, just your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to come to me. Come. I want to pray with you. Come. Come. Get out of your seat and come to me. I want to pray for you. And those in front, you can go back to your seat now. Please. Come. You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come. God bless you. That's right. Watch it. It's an experience of a lifetime. You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come quickly. Jesus. Close your eyes with me. If you're in front, lift up your two hands. And pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe he's alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. With all my heart, I believe that I'm born again now. My name is written in the book of life. And my life has changed forever. Help me, Father, to live the Christian life. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many people that God touched. Come. You had an experience that you have not experienced before. Come. Testimony. The Lord touch you. Had an experience. Come. The Lord touch you. Come. Don't make the experience light.
I got the feeling that I had gotten when I went to Mampong, the new Bible campus.
Okay.
That kind of feeling I got when I was taken up there. And then there was this cloud like a chimney coming out from the center of this place. Yes. It's a long cloud. And as I kept looking at the cloud changed from just a dark pillar to a lighthouse itself.
As we charge upon the mountaintop. Wow. Father, I thank you for experiences. More of it with Jesus. Thank you. Next, please. Sing. That's right.
Reverend. Mm-hmm. I feel something dark come over me.
You felt something dark come over you? Uh-huh.
I'm trying to figure out what is.
What it is.
Yeah.
That was all. May it be replaced by light. May that darkness be replaced by light that comes out of Jesus. Next. Something dark comes over you and you don't want to see it. You want to go home with something dark over you? Eh? Evilistic. People want to go with something dark over them.
Hey.
Yes, is that yes. The little. That
slide.
That slide.
Slide.
Tell us the slight thing.
Reverend, accountant, it wasn't much. It was like, I feel that I am in this church too long, and I'm not doing my best.
Okay.
And while he was praying for me, I felt cold. And then I'd be like, oh, see, so what's this?
Some cold
like, breeze. Like coldness.
Cold breeze. Oh, yes. Okay. Not like eating ice cream cake.
No, Rev. Like a cold breeze.
Cold breeze, yes. On you.
And I go down.
Wow. And
I just slide down there.
Wow.
And something was telling me, like, you need to be more active in church.
Oh.
And I said, okay.
Okay.
I'll try my best.
You try your best. Father, turn the slide into something big. Before she leaves. Never the same again. Establish her, oh God. Yes, next. Keep your eyes on me, guys. Keep your eyes on me.
Reverend, I can't explain exactly what happened to me, but I know I was trying to get up, and the Lord said to me, don't move, I'm not finished with you yet. But
I need your son. Your son must experience these things. Yes.
Well, Pastor, when I...
Go ahead, sweetie.
When come. I fell...
Uh-huh. Are you from Friendship?
Yes.
Okay.
When I fell, I see like somebody come towards me with a light.
You fell and you saw somebody come towards you with a light?
Yes.
That was that was Jesus. You have more light in your life, in your darkness. Hey. Anointing is still around, it's still lingering. You want to come and say what happened to you? Come quickly before I close. I don't feel like closing. I feel like laying my hands on some more people. You want to say something? Come. That's right. It's not finished with you. You're shy? Don't be shy. Jesus is here.
Okay,
where are you from? Friendship?
No, Grove.
Grove, come. Turn. Face the people. Right. What's your name?
My name is Kim.
Your name is?
Kim.
Kim. Okay. Kim. What happened?
When I fell down just now, I feel like breeze over me. Cold. And I was cold, trembling on the ground.
Wow.
And the place was dark.
The place was dark.
Yeah.
No, but it's light here, so where was that?
No, I can't say.
You can't say. May the darkness be turned into light. You see, God, you see, Jesus is just helping people to see where they are. You get it? So, if you saw any darkness come, it must turn into light. If you saw any darkness tonight, come. Because Andriska was one, this is two. Isn't it? I think she saw light. If you saw light or you saw any darkness, come. Yeah, come. Quickly. Come. That's right. God bless you. Come. Some darkness or something. Come. Come on. No, they don't need a microphone. Lift up your hands. Ashes, I need you. Lift up your hands, ladies. Lift up your hands. May that darkness be turned into light. May Jesus complete that experience. As he has shown you the darkness, may he take you away out of that darkness into light. Into light. Darkness into light. Darkness into light. Darkness into light. Into light. Get out of that darkness, Jesus. If you saw darkness, don't go home with the darkness. Yes, Lord. You see from Grove? Every darkness be turned into light. Every darkness be turned into light. If you saw darkness, please come quickly. Jesus is turning darkness into light. You saw darkness. If you saw light, come also. If you saw light, come. He's turning darkness into light.
and it's increasing light. If you saw light come, oh yes, Lord, lights like the sun, light like the sun, like the sun. That's right, light like the sun. Just pay attention. Light like the sun. Light like the sun. Lift up your hands. Yes. Light. Light. More light like the sun. More light. Oh, more light. More light. More light. Your darkness be driven away. Watch it. Darkness. Your light shine brighter. May the light shine brighter. May that light shine brighter. May that light shine brighter. In the name of Jesus. May that light shine brighter. May it shine brighter. May it shine brighter. May it shine brighter. That's right. Darkness be wiped away. We turn into light. Ashes, ashes. Ashes. If you saw light, you saw darkness come. That's a convention. This is what we call convention. We have time. We have time. Don't miss tomorrow night. Don't miss tomorrow night. Every darkness, may the light of Jesus shine in that darkness. The Bible says he's light. In him there's no darkness at all. The light shines in darkness. The darkness cannot overcome the light that Jesus brings. Excited tonight. I thought you'll be singing along.
Worthy of our praise.
More light.
My heart will sing. How great is our God.
Clive, you're getting beat. The heel is fine, you know. Watch it. Yes, Lord. God bless you. May you go back to your seat. All right. God bless you. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock again. You must not leave without an encounter with Jesus.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.